and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the podcast this week, we're going to be in Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16, as we study the story of Samson. Judges chapter number 16. Now, we started studying a very difficult subject, and it's a very touchy subject, especially in Baptist church circles, the subject of suicide. It's very touchy. It's very personal. It's very sensitive. It's controversial even. But the Bible has, I believe, a complete message on suicide and on that subject. There are seven suicides or assisted suicides recorded in the Word of God. I say assisted. Last week we looked at Abimelech, and Abimelech was an assisted suicide. Abimelech asked his armor bearer to kill him. And that's considered assisted suicide. Then there's the story of Saul, King Saul. His was an assisted suicide. His armor bearer also killed himself. And so in both cases, they were wounded, and they didn't want to fall into the hands of the enemy in the case of Saul and be said that a woman killed him in the case of Abimelech. But here we have probably the most difficult to explain suicide. And it's just incidentally a suicide here in Judges chapter number 16. So let's go ahead and begin reading Judges chapter number 16. We're going to begin reading down at verse number 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. I'm also going to read another piece of scripture real quick, and this is in Hebrews chapter number 11, and beginning and reading with verse number 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens." There's more that's listed there, but we're going to stop. So, what'd Samson do? Now, Samson is a tragic character in the Word of God. Tragic in that there was so much potential, and yet that potential was wasted in ways. There was so much potential in the life of Samson. He had great strength. He was avowed and pledged to the Lord from birth. He was a Nazarite from birth. He had amazing strength when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Probably the strongest man to have lived in Bible times. And yet, he was weak. And his weakness came from his eyes. Now, this is where it gets a little bit odd. This story takes an odd turn when you start studying the punishment of Samson because of his eyes. He saw a woman in Timnah and wanted to go to her. He lusted after the Philistine woman in Timnah. She was very pretty, and he was caught with her, with his eyes, caught with her eyes too, probably. She probably had those doe-like eyes that tend to draw people in, draw men in toward a woman with that is endowed with such eyes. This is a major character flaw in Samson. He is definitely taken with the lust of his eyes and the lust of the flesh, as well as the pride of life. All three of these are present in the story of Samson. He has the lust of the eyes over the woman of Timnah. He has the lust of the flesh with the prostitute, just in the next chapter or so. And then he has the pride of life dealing with Delilah. Now, Delilah, he spent some time with Delilah, and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh were definitely present there. But the pride of life, he kept kind of teasing her with. She kept asking him about his strength, and the pride of life got him. He said, "If you buy me with this, or you buy me with that, you buy me with this other thing," and none of those worked. But the Philistines were there, and he had pride, and he—I don't know why he actually told her the truth. I mean, yeah, she pestered him to death about it. She nagged him to death about it, and he gave in. Did he think that wasn't going to create the problem? Did he think? Well, obviously, when he got up, he was going to throw off the bonds just like before, but he wist not that the Lord had left him. He didn't feel that the Lord had left him. And that's the problem and the warning to Christians today. Your strength, well, let me just say it this way. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh my. Your strength is in the Lord. There's strength in the Lord. But the problem with too many Christians is they get out in the world, they give in to the lust of their eyes, they see the things of the world that they're greatly desired, and they lust after those things. Then the lust of the flesh, they want the pleasures of life, even if for a season. And then have the pride of life thinking, well, I'm saved. Lord's not going to let nothing happen to me. Excuse me? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Oh my. Christians, we can get into a place very similar to Samson and not even realize that our strength is gone. He didn't realize it. He felt just as strong as he had always felt. And then the Spirit of the Lord didn't come upon him. And he was bound. And then those very eyes that got him into trouble were gouged out by the Philistines. Now, you talk about a painful thing. That would have been painful. That would have been hard. And it would have been painful for a long time. And here he prays to the Lord, says, "Let me be avenged for my two eyes." What does Jesus tell his disciples in the Gospels? "If thine right eye offend thee, pluck it out." All right, Samson's eyes are gone. Now his hair's growing back, but I don't think that's what gave him his strength again, was his hair. His hair represented his vow. His hair represented everything he was in terms of the Nazarite. And yes, allowing it to be cut. And he told Delilah his secret. And she, for money, for the love of money, she gave in to that secret. and destroyed this man. That's also a great warning to the child of God. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They're just as liable to turn against you and hand you over to the Philistines once they find your strength. Once they find the source of your strength, once they figure out the joy of the Lord is your strength, they will do everything in their power to take your joy. Once they find out what your strengths are in the Lord, they will do everything they can to pull those down once they find out. Once they find out, don't be unequally yoked, believer, child of God. The lost is not your friend. The lost cannot be your partner, your spouse. Be careful, child of God. Be not unequally yoked, is said to us very frequently. Being unequally yoked led to Samson's downfall. Now, initially, God used it for his glory because he wanted occasion against the Philistines. That is a true statement. That is a fact. And it just is. It just is. But folks, there was no excuse for Samson to go to the prostitute. There was no excuse for him to go to Delilah. None. Yes, he did some amazing things during those times, but that does not mean God was happy with what Samson did. Furthermore, yes, God granted him the strength by which he killed himself. And here's where it gets really controversial and really difficult. Because there are people that would deny that Samson actually commits suicide here. It's more of a, he's more of a martyr. He got himself into the shape he was in, and killing himself was the only way he was going to get out of the shape he was in. Yes, he killed a lot of Philistines with him, but is God pleased with what Samson did? Did God use it? Yes, God used it to win a great battle. But now Samson's gone, and he can't win any more battles. So much potential. If Samson had simply stuck to the Lord, and once this woman of Timnah was taken away from him, he should have been content, but he wasn't. The lust of his eyes, the lusts of his flesh, and the pride of his life did him in. Now, there's another disturbing part of this story. There's a group of people out there in the world, terrorist extremists, that use this scripture to justify suicide bombings. And it's been over not just the last few years, it's been over decades and even centuries. Suicide bombers and suicide attacks of all brands have taken inspiration from Samson. Say, it worked for Samson, it'll work for us. And they try to paint it into a good light. Was this a good thing? The Bible is relatively silent on the subject. It doesn't say it's a good thing. It doesn't say it's a bad thing. It just says it was a thing. God doesn't glorify it. God doesn't celebrate it. At the same time, God does state that Samson had faith. Stopping the mouth of lions is one of them. Of course, Daniel did that, but he's not mentioned here except as one of the prophets. No, five judges, if you count Samuel. You have Gideon, you have Barak, you have or Barak, however you want to pronounce the man's name. You have Samson, and you have Jephthah. All four of these were flawed people. The only one of the bunch that didn't have a tremendous outright character flaw, and that's even arguable because of the way his children turned out, is Samuel. Samuel was also a Nazarite. Samuel lived around the same time Samson did. In fact, some chronologers state that they were born pretty much at the same time, same day, even. I ain't going to go that far, but they were contemporaries of each other. They probably lived around the same time. And Samuel was a Nazarite, and so was Samson. And there's a big difference between how they were raised and how they ended up. Samuel ended up the first of the great prophets in terms of the age of the prophets as opposed to the age of the priests. Obviously, Moses was the first great prophet, but Samuel is the one. The age of the prophets started with Samuel when the age of the priests and the priests' preeminence went out with Eli and Eli's descendants. Of course, Eli was not the only priest. He was high priest. There were other priests, and their priestly line survived. But Samuel was there, and Samuel was the instrument of that. That the Lord used. And he was a Nazarite. He was vowed from birth. He and Samson had a lot of parallels. Lots of parallels. Lots and lots of parallels between those two in their lives. Now, folk, we have to be real careful when studying this. Because it would be easy to glorify religious suicide to kill the enemy. And again, some people have done that. Some people have done that. But we need to see the complete picture. We've not seen the complete picture on what the Bible says about suicide and whether the Bible approves of it or not, whether the Bible condemns it or not. The Bible makes it plain, thou shalt not kill. It does not say thou shalt not kill somebody else. It just simply says thou shalt not kill. And killing yourself is still killing, okay? Even if you have somebody else do it, you're doing assisted suicide. Both of them violate thou shalt not kill. It does. Now, what do you do about wartime? What do you do about fighting the Philistines? How is that not the same thing? That's where it gets a little touchy. That's where it gets a little touchy. When God commands you to eradicate the enemy, then you eradicate the enemy. Thou shalt not kill doesn't cover acts of war, apparently. And that's another place the world does not understand that. The world does not understand it. The world even goes as far as to say, well, thou shalt not kill, that means capital punishment's wrong. Well, the law is clear about capital punishment in the eyes of the law. Capital punishment is used through the Word of God, and it, when somebody has forfeited their right to life by killing someone, then it's not the same thing. And yes, the intent of the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is thou shalt not commit murder. That is, killing with hatred, killing intentionally. And the law is pretty clear about that. The law is pretty clear in terms of the offerings, the trespass offerings, the sin offerings that accompany accidental death, the whole idea with the revenger of blood that would go around and take the life. The murder and the punishments for murder are pretty creative under the law. It's pretty creative how it's all supposed to be handled and all supposed to be done. And so committing suicide, who's the revenger of blood, and who does the revenger of blood go after in the case of a suicide? But again, I don't believe, even in the story of Samson, I don't believe the Bible is glorifying suicide. I believe the Bible is saying, in spite of it, in spite of what his life was, Samson killed more in his final act than he did through his whole life. I don't think that's glorifying it. Because again, the unsaid thing is, and this was the last people he ever killed. He partly helped deliver Israel from the Philistines. Had he been right with God to begin with, had he not committed suicide and not been with Delilah to be in the situation, how much more could God have done through him? How much more? You know, And it's a complex topic, and I'm not going to pretend to say that I have all the answers to this. I don't. Things are way too individual. People's minds work so differently from each other's that there's no one size fits all. But there are 7 recorded suicides in the Word of God for a reason. And I believe that reason is the Bible saying, here's the complete picture if you'll just put it together. To the best of my knowledge, none of these suicides are seen as a good thing. None of these suicides are presented as being the perfect will of God. Did God use Samson's suicide? Yes, he did. Was it God's perfect will? No, it wasn't, because it involved Samson killing himself and thus circumventing the will of God in his life, taking his will into his own hands. That's the biggest thing right there. And that's the thing that bothers me the most about Samson. Samson didn't ask God. He didn't pray about it until right here at the last. And he prayed, Lord, this one time, give me strength that I may be avenged of my 2 eyes. Now, here's where it gets complicated. Could God have simply said no? No, you're going to suffer for what you did, and I'm not going to let you do this. Or did God allow it? The permissive will of God is a thing. God many times lets us have things and lets us do things and lets us participate in things that are not his perfect will, and he doesn't get in our way. And when he sees Samson here, he grants his request. And Samson pulls the pillars down. Now, there have been a lot of controversy about these pillars. How in the world did that work? Well, I believe it worked a whole lot like a set of dominoes. If you take dominoes and stack them up and put them in lines and topple one, then the next one topples, and it topples in order. I believe that building that the Philistines had was so overloaded that all it took was a couple of pillars. It's hard for me to imagine a structure where just 2 pillars would take the whole house down. But if those 2 pillars take out 2 more each and it zippers around the building, the whole building could come down really easily, as loaded as the roof of that building was. And so thus ended Samson. Folk, there are people today hurting because somebody committed suicide. There are. And the family of Samson was no exception. Buried in the burying place of his father. Now, it doesn't say his father had already died. Being in the burying place of Manoah meant it was in the place where Manoah was going to be buried, or was buried, one of the 2. We don't know that Manoah was dead or alive. We do know Manoah was alive at the time that Samson went down to Timnah. He and his wife, Samson's mother, both were alive. What about them? What about their hurt? And we're going to continue studying what thus saith the Word of God about suicide. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email to broadcast@lamaroen.net. Again, the email address, broadcast@lamaroen.net. And join us here again next week for the I Want to Know More podcast.